while we were on break, we were on our way to Southern Arizona the whole time. We're pulling up to Sierra Vista at Lou's house here at Rosie on the House. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Yes, ma'am. How may we help?
I'm originally from Lehigh, and Mr. Harper probably remembers the narrow little two-lane road that McKellips is now. I've got an apricot tree, and it's in the high point of our lot. It's right behind the wall, so it's in a very protected, sheltered area. It's 10 years old, and I've had blossoms, and last year I thought I was safe and would have fruit. Now, because I had no frost and no freeze that hit it. Now, I've still gotten nothing from this tree. Does it need a special amendment?
Well, there could be a couple of things, depending on what type of apricot it is. You could be getting too late a freeze. It might be in a variety that's too early. Mm-hmm. It might be a variety that needs a pollinator.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt there's a chance that it's a variety that needs more chill than you. You're in Sierra Vista, is that what we said?
Correct.
You get a lot of chill there. I would think, yeah. The two most common things are, you know, chill or timing. If you have a variety that's too early a variety, maybe it was a variety that's more meant for Phoenix, our conditions here. Or it's just not getting pollinated. And it could be that it needs a pollinator. It could be that you have it in such a protected area that it isn't getting enough wind and stirring of the pollen. Maybe there's no bees in the area. So it just may not be getting pollinated, even though it's self-fertile or self-pollinating. You still have to have wind. You have to have something that moves the pollen, stirs the pollen around, even within the tree itself. And you mentioned that it's really protected, and sometimes we have that problem with garden placement, with people with vegetable gardens or fruit trees in very protected side yard areas that are very calm and still, and you don't get pollination.
Lou, we appreciate the call of local nurseries in that area. It's a little bit of a drive, but here at my handy-dandy plant-something.org search engine, Savannah Nursery in Tucson pulls up, and the Magic Garden. I'm not sure of any retailers closer than that. And Wilcox, or I'm sure there's got to be one.
There is a little feed store in Sonoyta that sells some nursery products. I don't know if they sell fruit trees or if they could help you. That would be not too bad a drive.
No, not at all. Nice area down there. As we go to Frank, welcome to the program.
Good morning, guys. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, sir.
Listen, I've called before on this. I've got a tangerine tree that we've had for 32 years. It's 20 feet high and 20 feet wide. It has produced tangerines, hundreds of them, every year. This year, there were no blossoms. I had plenty of bees in the backyard with my other flowers and stuff, but nothing this year. What do you think happened?
It didn't even bloom?
No, nothing.
Okay. Well, if it didn't,
the tree is healthy. The leaves are green. I fertilized it. The only thing I can tell you that might help you is that, of course, you remember a couple of years ago, we had a deep freeze down in Arizona here, and it did hurt it. Mm-hmm. But I trimmed all those branches way up high, took all those dead branches out to give it some growth, and it came back in 2012 pretty good, and then 2013 it came back real good. And like I say, the leaves are real green, they're shiny, but no blossoms.
Okay, well, we had a hard freeze at the very start of 2013, so last year in January. Now, if it froze some of that wood and you had to prune it off, citrus produce on second year and older growth. So if you had to prune off growth that would have been the second year or older growth this year, it's not going to produce any fruit. So that's what we're seeing, not so much with tangerines, but, you know, tangerines would be affected, but limes and lemons, particularly a lot of folks that don't have any lime or lemons on their trees this year because they had to prune that damaged wood off. So that would be my guess. If it didn't even bloom, then it doesn't matter how many bees you have. There's no blooms, you're not going to have any fruit. It probably had something to do with the pruning or the freezing that forced you to prune, and we removed that wood that would have blossomed. So hopefully it doesn't freeze that hard this winter, and you'll be okay next year.
Now, back on the topic of pruners, one of the tricks that I learned pretty young for cleaning your shovel was just taking over just sand and shoving it in and out of sand, and that worked like sandpaper, and it cleaned the mud and the concrete and everything off. Is there any trick like that for clippers? I mean, you get the tree sap and the bark and the gunk.
Well, anything that would, you know, like a fingernail polish remover type product or something like that that would kind of cut through that sap, take that off. The key is pruning them when you're done before you put them away. Even just like WD-40 or oil will a lot of times, you know, take that stuff off. And also, if you oil them, it'll keep that sap from sticking on there to begin with. So keeping them well oiled, well maintained. You know, a lot of us, I've been guilty of this a million times. Take that pruner, you prune, and then you just kind of put it away, and it's there till next year, and then we expect it to perform properly. And so the first thing before you go out there and start pruning right now, get out there. Pruners are pretty easy to sharpen. Just a file, you know, maybe a little whetstone. You can put an edge on a little pruner pretty fast. Oil it, you know, tighten it up if it's gotten a little sloppy or loose, and you should be good to go. A lot of the lawnmower shops around town will sharpen tools like that for a pretty inexpensive cost. So if you think it's really dull, or if you've pruned, you know, cut wire with it.
It's not a wire cutter.
Well, you know, again, I'll have
sometimes
to confess,
you just need to get the job done.
You know, instead of running all the way back to go get the wire cutters, we do it with the pruners, and that puts big chunks or gaps in the blade, and you know, those are a little harder to get out. So,
and one pruner doesn't do the job, especially on a mature tree. You've got to have a.
You really need a hand
pruning set.
You need a hand pruner. You need a lopper, and you need a saw. You really, if you're going to prune anything of any size at all, you really almost need all three of those things. The hand pruner for stuff that's, you know, half an inch and smaller. The lopper for things that are probably a half an inch to maybe an inch and a quarter, maybe an inch and a half, and then a saw for anything that's bigger than that. And start at the ends and work your way in. Don't try and just cut the one big limb all at once. We've all seen it. We've all done it. You cut it, that gets heavy. It starts falling off. And before you can make the cut all the way through, it pulls down and strips off. So cut a lot of that weight off there first before you cut that limb.
So if you know you're going to cut all the way back, let's say, to the
trunk. If you're
going to
remove that whole limb anyway.
Don't start there.
Right.
Start out on the end.
Plus, then you have your stuff already cut in sizes that are a lot easier to handle and dispose of than these great big 10-foot long branches that now I have to go back and cut up anyway in pieces.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you if you'd like to join the conversation. Speaking of pruners, we were given some to give away that were quite impressive. A brand I wasn't familiar with, but it's something that y'all really became fans of, Mom.
Yeah, they're Fiskars. Fiskars. They had sent us loppers to try out, and they had a leverage component so that you could really get a lot done without as much effort. And then a little pair of pruners as well. Nice, nice tools.
Now, I'm not very familiar. Is there a listing of where you can get those locally, or is that something you get online?
I think Ace carries them. I've seen them around. Yeah, they're nice.
Fiskars.
Been a brand that's been around a long time. I think more in the started out, they make a lot of kitchen shears and sewing
scissors
components and scissors. So they're in the cutting instrument business. So, but you can find them.
Well, let's bring Robert into the conversation. He's got a question for Mr. Harper. Welcome to the program, sir.
Yes, I've got a couple of scissors, and they are they have not a lot of yellow leaves, but just a scattering throughout the tree. Mm-hmm. Would that be underwater or overwater?
It can just be scissors this time of year. Frankly, with the cooler, wetter weather, you know, they're pretty subtropical. They like warm weather. They will kind of go through a little period here where they'll get a little bit of a dull green, maybe even some yellow leaves. They'll shed some leaves. going into winter. They're not a true deciduous tree. They don't lose all their leaves unless they freeze. Then they'll shed their leaves and sprout back out. So I would watch your watering. We've had, you know, in the last 30 days in some parts of town as much as 4 inches of rain. Plus it's very cool and soil staying wet a long time. So I would watch the watering on it, and then about mid-February, make sure you give it a good fertilization, and it should be fine.
We've talked an awful lot about trimming and pruning and frostbite and everything. Is there anything right now plant-worthy to put in the ground?
Oh, absolutely. This is a fantastic time to plant. Well, first of all, let's just start little. You know, winter vegetables, we're still planting lettuces and chards and onions and spinach, and you can still sow seeds for carrots. We've got asparagus out available now. So there's all kinds of things for vegetables that you can still plant for cool season vegetables. We can plant anything that's winter hardy, a tree, a shrub, or a vine. So, you know, all kinds of shade trees like elms and ashes and your desert trees. It's a great time to plant, you know, mesquites and Palo Verdes, oaks. Fabulous time. The ground is moist. It's easy to dig. And the air is cool, so you don't lose a lot of moisture out through the leaves. They don't wilt quickly. It's easy to get them established.
1-888-767-4348. 1-888-ROSIE for you on our post-Christmas broadcast, the last broadcast of 2013, another year in the books, which will wrap up number 25 for the program. We appreciate y'all joining us here every Saturday morning. It's Rosie on the House. We're going to take a quick break and come back with our final segment here in the garden.